You just docked?
I have.
I'll pay 25 cents docking tax.
What for?
Where's your sea craft?
It ain't no sea craft. It's me dinghy, and it's under the wharf.
The shore goods?
There is.
Yeah. You're near in town, right?
They call this a town? Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's 17 cents new in town tax. And there's 45 cents rowboat under the wharf tax and $1 leaving your junk lying around the wharf tax. So all together, you owe the Commodore $1.87.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode shite. Hold on a second.
Episode Popeye.
Here it is. Wait. Okay. Ah, damn it.
Too old.
Scott screwed up. 30. Hold on. Hold on.
Six.
There it is. Hold on.
This is Film Sack episode 206.
206.
It's feeling longer than the movie itself.
Mining the very depths of entertainment film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 206. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian He Yam What He Yam Dunaway.
I am. Hi, and welcome to Sweet Haven Gym, where our motto is every day is forearm day. Also, I hope you enjoy the smell of sweat and fish. Sweaty fish.
Nice. Also with us, Randy, you owe me an apology, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Aloha, Brian, Scott. Happy Father's Day, guys. Aww. And may I be the first to point out that we may have found the worst possible day on which to watch this movie, unless there is a more general good parenting day, or perhaps there's a day on which we celebrate ethical tax collectors. That might be worse. But seriously, you each owe me $1.34, and you better pay up right now. I'm going to harass you the rest of this episode. And after you pay up, I'm going to harass you for the rest of this episode.
Oh, you owe me an apology. He's the worst father of the year.
Oh, I loved him, but that was my favorite.
We'll get apology. Back to him in a minute. Finally, with us, Brian. He's no doctor, but he knows he's losing his patience, Ibbot.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday to never have to watch this shit again.
Very well done. Nice.
All right, hold on. Let's back that track up because You know what?
Go ahead.
Scott Fletcher first. Scott Fletcher, step in here, damn it, and tell us what this movie is.
Popeye. During a storm that wrecks his ship, super strong sailor Popeye washes ashore and winds up rooming at the oil household, where he meets Olive. Before he can win her heart, he must first contend with her fiancé, Bluto.
Not Brutus. Bluto.
Bluto.
Okay, a couple of problems I have with that original, his description there. He didn't lose his ship. He came in on a dinghy.
Which was his escape boat.
Yeah, okay.
Life raft.
But that would have all happened to have been totally inferred, right? Because nobody ever said, he didn't talk about it and go into depth about how his boat went under, did he?
He mumbled a lot. He might have said something.
Yeah, he might have said. Exactly. My boat checked.
So, all right. Can I just lay it out now so I can get all my biases out and on the table? Fresh for everyone to smell. Here they are.
Sure.
Smell my bias. Here it is. I loved this movie as a kid, and my nostalgia for it runs deep. So I am not going to be reasonable today as to the quality of the movie because it still works for me. So as soon as I hear some of the dumb songs, as soon as I see some of the dumb visuals, as soon as I get to that town, that salty, freaking nasty town, it all kicks back in for me, and I'm good with it. So I'm not going to stand here and say it's the best Robert Altman movie ever made. No.
What else? MASH? What else you got?
MASH, you got your shortcuts. That's where you get to see Matthew Modine's wiener.
Oh, yeah. The Godsford Park.
The Godsford Park is really good. There's good movies.
Yeah,
he makes movies. Yep. The guy
every single one of them better than Popeye.
Yeah, no question. But even some of
Popeye.
The... It's me. Okay, Brian and me. Let's do this, Brian. Argue for Popeye. Go.
I
am for Popeye because I am all about Great Depression musicals, and this has it in spades. Not to mention, I mean, I've watched a lot of the cartoons in the past, all the way back from the beginning, and read the comics. And I don't think they could have done much more to make this more Popeye. Yeah. I mean, this is about as Popeye as you can get.
Yeah, you either go full animated, or it's this.
And I enjoy it because I'm a big old school Robin Williams fan. I mean, during that time, this was his first film. I mean, I was enamored with Robin Williams. I still am.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of amazed by the performance.
It's no Good Will Hunting. It's Dead Poets Society.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Or Good Morning Vietnam. Sure. It's none of those things.
I was also amazed by the performance. Right. Putting air quotes around performance.
It's not
there,
even Mork and Mindy.
But I'm going to side with Brian on that point that Popeye has to be impossible almost. Like the fact that it got through, that it somehow got made is incredible. Now, being as young as I was, and I admit fully, this bias is not fair. Like I, you know, there are a lot of things you can see as a kid. And then as we've learned on the show, someone will say, oh, you guys watched the movie I watched when I was 10 and I loved it. Now you've ruined it. So everybody goes through this, but I don't know what it is. There was something about Popeye that I loved. It was one of the first VHS tapes I ever got. And we watched it until it looked like a scratched up mess. And we had to get another one.
See, wow. I was never...
You wore out your copy of VHS.
We did. And I used to have a crush on...
Olive oil?
Shelley Duvall.
Do not say Shelley Duvall.
Yeah. Really? I did for a while.
You actually liked her? Out of all the women we've discussed on this show...
I think the cartoon Olive Oil is sexier than Shelley Duvall.
But I don't mean in this necessarily. I just kind of had a thing for her in general.
Right.
It's not her going, all the time or whatever. None of that's doing it for me. But there's something about her... Something about her. I can't put my finger on it. It's her and it's more her and
The Shining.
No, like The Shining or I don't know, something.
Roxanne. I couldn't even really give you Roxanne, but that's probably where she was made up to look the best.
Or I'll say it this way. It isn't purely a physical thing for me. It's I think she would be really interesting to hang around, to have conversations with.
Sure. Okay.
You know, that would be a friend you'd want to go get coffee with every other day or something.
I'm scooting over here towards Randy. I'm going, are you kidding me?
I know. I'm so confused right now.
I think I would date Robert Duvall before I dated Shelley Duvall.
They're not related, are they? Are they related? Are they related at all? I couldn't find a connection.
That's his sister. I don't know.
I couldn't,
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I couldn't
are they
find
related?
A connection. I have no idea.
Yeah, Robert Duvall is her dad.
Oh, really?
I'm amused that when you go to Shelley Duvall's bio, one of the first things you learn is her nickname, the Texas Twiggy. Something about that. That's just
oh my
so
gosh,
strong.
It is. It's Bobby and Robert Duvall's. Who's Bobby? The mom? Yeah, I guess that's Bobby the mom.
Okay, so again, her father is not the actor Robert Duvall.
Oh,
his
really?
Name is
that's
Robert.
Funny.
Oh, his name just happens to be Robert Duvall?
Right, correct.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Oh, wow. Well, who knew? Who would have thunk it?
This did a Google image search. Oh, wow. You guys got to see this Stanley Kubrick, the Shining Shelley Duvall thing. Hold on a second. We'll have to post this in the notes somewhere. God.
She was actually discovered. Shelley Duvall was actually discovered by Robert Altman's casting people.
Oh, you're kidding.
For an earlier film, they were looking for people for the movie Brewster McCloud.
I was going to say, there are a few examples of people in this movie who were cast in other Altman productions. Right. So the, a lot of, not nepotism, but whatever you call that, where actors and directors.
We sometimes use the word incestuous, which is not as good. Like, there needs to be a specific word for when you go back to the same people. Yeah.
I call it the Adam Sandler.
I call it the Frog Pants Network most of the time.
The best example is Christopher Guest. He seems to have like a party of people living in a basement that he unleashes for every movie.
Yeah, but you see it like pretty prominently. Like Wes Anderson has always got Bill Murray.
Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson. And
those guys are always at the ready to come do a movie with him. And I'm not saying I even have a problem with it, but it is a weird thing. And I think Altman also did this, but he is the master of like ensemble drama, right? That was kind of his thing, his trademark.
Right.
So he could get a ton of people in a room and get really interesting scenes out of it. And I feel like we only got one piece of that with this movie, and that was the scene with the family. He's renting a room for the night or whatever. And
the oil
family's gathered around dinner, and they're having this back and forth. And you never quite get his hand into a bowl to get food out of it. And the guy's telling everybody how many people owe an apology and all this kind of stuff.
I had to actually, there was some point where I felt like everything in this movie was so dysfunctional that I needed to give it some credit for portraying dysfunction.
Yeah.
Right.
Like like that was its point. But how do you get from there to entertaining family comedy musical? Like, it, you know, like at some point you need to give me something to like. Like, even the guy with like the hamburger
movie.
Fetish.
The movie, you can like the movie. Go ahead, continue. Hamburger fetish.
I'm just
fetish.
Saying, like, even the guy with the hamburger fetish is...
you mean Wimpy, who likes hamburgers.
Sure. I prefer the guy with the...
The guy
like
with
that.
The hamburger fetish, yeah.
I may have just revealed that I don't know crap about Popeye. But the you know, like, that guy has all this potential to be fun and funny, and he's not. He's just a jerk, you know?
Right.
And I don't understand why this movie sticks with dysfunction and never gives you anything else.
He was always a jerk, though. He was a jerk in the cartoons. Like, Wimpy was always a pain in the ass. Having watched a ton of those cartoons when we were kids, we used to have this thing where, I don't know if you guys remember this, but in the intro of the old, old black and white Popeye cartoons, it would go, and then the door would shut, shlunk, and then open again.
They showed that at the top of this movie.
They did. They did. So the door, but the door would shut, open again, and you'd see another credit, like director, something, something. And then it would do it again, schlunk, and open again. It would be more people credited.
Right.
My sister and I had this tradition that anytime a Popeye commercial or cartoon was on and it would do that, we would run up to the screen and put our finger where the door was going to shut. And then when it shut, we would go, ow, and jump back. It was pretty.
That is so cute.
It was cute.
Like, I love that.
If you did that with this movie, it would improve the movie.
Yeah. All right, look,
Scott, get out of the way. Oh, I see what you're doing.
I'm going to admit, you're right. It doesn't really hold up that well. There's a lot of problems, and the music is really forced and not very good. And
really,
it's so poorly,
strangely muted, and
sad,
I don't know.
For Harry Nilsson, who's the guy that wrote it. It's so surprising that the lyrics are so basic and just descriptive of what's going on, as opposed to being, oh, this is really cleverly written, and oh, these, you know, there's a pun there, and no, it's like, and it's Popeye and he's walking down the street and he's saying hi to the tax guy and he's
yeah no one ever said hi to the tax guy though.
Oh, no, he really
he's the
didn't,
worst
yeah.
Don't
Watch
forget
my eyebrows.
He's the eyebrow guy.
Yeah,
that's tripping on my eyebrows, tax.
I was
the
amazed
guy that swore
I,
real loud on the chair and the thing. Remember that? He was tied to the chair and they thought he had the blood, and then they tested it and it wasn't. And he yelled, "Get me the F out of this chair," or whatever.
Right.
Guy's great.
I got a reset here because I was amazed when I looked up Harry Nilsson to find so many songs that he was responsible for.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That I knew very well. Like, I had thought of him as a very minor, you know, it's like singer songwriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And no. He was a songwriter for everybody for a time, for like the early 70s.
Huh. Which Harry Nilsson is he? I can't find him. Harry C. Nilsson? Harry
Nilsson. N-I-L-S-S-O-N.
Oh, Nilsson. That's why I don't see it.
Nilsson. N-I-L. No E at all.
Oh, there he is. Harry Nilsson. Oh, yeah. Look at that guy. Goodfellas.
Put the lime in the coconut. And
Well, you can forgive him for that one song, but...
No, it's a great song, especially when Fred Schneider from B-52s does it.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Awesome.
It's a horrible
song. Did a bunch of Simpsons music, Hangover Part 3. There's some eclectic stuff going on here.
Everybody's talking, although he didn't write that one.
He died long before those things, but yeah, he was like a lot of that stuff borrows from things he wrote.
Oh, well, it says he did them. It says, so here he is. He died in 94, age 52. That's a little young. It says here, Hangover Part 3. Oh, it's just licensed things he did, like Everybody's Talking or... Yeah, I get it.
Right.
Anyway, wow, though. Prolific. Mm-hmm. Look at this career. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was the Popeye soundtrack was his last studio album. It was the last official thing that he wrote and released.
Oh, guys, guess what I owned, by the way?
The Popeye soundtrack.
The Popeye soundtrack!
Get out. Did you put your finger in the tape cassette and go, huh?
No, I had it on... it was a record. It was like a straight up vinyl record.
Wow.
And I wish I had it now because I'd hang it up somewhere and worship it. I mean, look, I know it's not as good as I remember it being. I know. To me, this is the Time Bandits problem. If you saw it when you were a kid and you were really enamored with it, then you're always going to have some fondness for it. So I kind of have to recuse myself on that level. But there's
the
something
speaking
to like.
Of the soundtrack.
What? Yes.
I just want to give it some credit there. Apparently the soundtrack you own is known to be better than what you heard in the movie, because what you heard in the movie was recorded live on stage.
Really?
Dancing
and
all.
Like during filming?
Yeah. Yes. And then they re-recorded everything for the soundtrack.
That's weird because they overdubbed everything else.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's really, really strange.
Yeah. When they got the teacher that Spicoli had the pizza come to his class, Ray Walston, that's the guy. By the way, somebody over the weekend complimented me. I want to use that word really one more time just so you understand what I'm saying. Complimented me on my use of the way I say things instead of actual people's names, but by referring to something else they did. They think that's the way to do it. I will even admit that guy's wrong. Anyway. But everybody was super overdubbed. Like, I felt like nobody did their own dialogue. But then again, the way you, if what you're saying holds true, the music did have that quality of like, are you all singing it live? And is the microphone too far from your face? Or
that might have been a problem I had with it, actually, was that it felt like it was really hard to understand the lyrics because they were at the same volume as the people just constantly talking during the songs and constantly talking during the whole movie. I mean, my biggest complaint is that there's so much noise in this film that the sound editors probably just said, put everything at level 8. That's good. We're done.
I like to give some of the blame to Netflix, though. I feel like they very often downmix things that don't need to be, and they often apply loudness filters. What's a compression where it doesn't need to be?
Something in their conversion. I don't know.
Honestly, though, I mean, I watched this back in the day. I've owned videotapes like Scott, and it's always been it's a real muddle. But it's supposed to be because this is based on the Fleischer cartoons, and that's basically what it was. I mean, it was almost always. They didn't have hardly any mouth animation in the cartoons.
It's always real basic.
And so it was very dubbed over, and there was usually a lot of mumbling and a lot of talking going on in the background in the cartoons. And I felt like it captured that in this movie really well. But you're right. It is kind of distracting. But I don't think it's any different than if you've ever watched Annie. Have you ever watched Annie? Which is a great. I think we can all say is that we probably love that.
That's one that does it right, I think, in my opinion.
Which one? The one we're all thinking of? The big one in
Carolyn,
the 80s?
That yeah, 80s, yeah. Burnett.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Right. See that new one coming out?
Yes.
You got your daddy.
Oh, come on!
The guy that yelled, oh, come on, in the theater when I was there.
right.
Your Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. It's got your Cameron Diaz in there.
That's probably why he was saying, oh, come on, because that would make me say, oh, come on.
Well, that makes me feel better then, because it felt racially charged for some reason.
Right? Oh, come on, Annie! It's so depressing.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx is always good, so I will give it I'll give it a big chance.
He is often good. I'm not going to say always good.
No, always. Always good.
Often. Often.
He's like Morgan Freeman's voice. He's always good.
Oh, okay, by the way. I could say something about Morgan Freeman real quick here. So we got a listener of the show who was in Mississippi in his restaurant this weekend. He was going to go. So supposedly Morgan Freeman listens to TMS, and that's a whole other story, whether or not we can prove that. But this other guy got a picture of him sitting there talking to the mayor of whatever town they're in his restaurant, was going to go ask for a film sack bumper and just couldn't squeeze in there. So I just want to tell that guy, at least thanks for trying. Attempt. Right. Nice photo, though. You got a photo.
Nice thinking about us.
Yeah. That was cool. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so we brought up Annie a minute ago, and then Popeye. What other movies that have been made of, and it doesn't have to just be comic strips, but cartoons, like taking something that's a cartoon and making something live action. And I don't think I'd count the Smurfs just because
It's still 3D. It's animated.
3D animated, right. But thrown into a live action.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, because I think you're almost guaranteed to fail. I think Annie was the one that kind of slipped under slipped into the right thing. But can you imagine, would anyone like a Calvin and Hobbes live action movie?
Well, I think Little Orphan Annie wins is because the comic strip or the animated stuff that came after that were the reason for the source. It was because the stage play was such a hit.
Right.
And it was all based on that.
I need you to narrow down the field here because you just described a ton of movies like Spider-Man and Batman and so forth.
Well, comic strips. I wouldn't say comic books because I think that's more of a superhero thing.
But I do see what you're saying. Like, because that's a very good example. Like comic book movies.
I'm thinking of stuff like Dennis. I'm thinking about Dennis the Menace. Yes. That was pretty heinous.
Well, you got more like a dysmorphic kind of characterizations of people like Popeye. I mean, it's ridiculous. The big forearms and the squinted eye and the moving around corn pipe and all that stuff. Right. Like, that makes it more weird and not human. And I think Dennis the Menace kind of fits in that.
I think that's it. I think that's really that's where that definition would be. To kind of answer your question, Randy, with the comic books that are supposed to be made to look like illustrations of human beings proportioned correctly versus...
So would the Scooby-Doo movies count?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the Scooby-Doo movies definitely count.
Because I like those.
All hail Randy. Wait, stop. Don't hail Randy. He likes
Don't
them.
Don't hail the Randy.
Fine.
Jeez. Dude, those movies are bad. You really like those?
I don't understand what just happened.
Well, I was trying to say,
I'm just trying to understand what we're talking about.
I was trying to say you did it. That was an amazing pick because that's exactly what we're talking about, I think. I think that one's like the epicenter of what we're saying. But then you, in the same breath, says you like those. And that's the part that threw me off. So what do you like about those?
I didn't say I like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, you did.
I like Matthew. Matthew Lillard is hilarious.
Yeah, I agree that Matthew Lillard embodies Shaggy.
Yeah,
right.
Somehow.
Yeah,
but I don't think they're great movies. I was just trying to. I was thinking of actually how many of those the movies in this category are so very bad, like that Garfield movie. Oh my god!
There's a good example. Except again, that's a. I guess John was live action. I can't even remember who played John. Bill Murray. Oh god, that's right.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Wait.
No, Bill Murray was the voice of Garfield.
Yeah, oh,
Garfield.
You're right.
Yeah.
Everyone was mad because they didn't get the dude who plays the Super 8 commercial.
Right, right. Yeah. It was...
And he regrets it. Like, Bill Murray's I didn't even know what I was signing. I read some of it. We had it on the show.
I thought this was a Wes Anderson movie.
But I can even do worse. The Flintstones and the Flintstones and Viva Rock Vegas.
That's it. Yes.
Great examples.
Okay,
Breckenmeyer was John.
Okay, Breckenmeyer. I like him too.
Well, I think there's one that needs to be on film sack shortly, which is Dick Tracy.
Another good example. See, these are all so basically what we're talking about with all of these that we mentioned, aside from the comic book ones, is not just trying to do a movie that's entertaining, but trying to still capture the feel of the comic strip. For example, the weird forearms in Popeye.
Right,
and,
right. Or Dick Tracy's yellow coat and decoder
thing. Right, and hammerheaded dude. And,
yeah.
Right.
In fact, you could argue the worst Batman movies are the ones where they try to do that too much. Where they go, like the what's-his-name, the nipple ones. Where he's like, we're just going to be real stupid and have that credit card thing and all that dumb stuff in those movies.
I have a hard time thinking of a kid's comic strip that didn't become a movie. There was a Richie Rich movie with Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin. Rocky Bullwinkle.
There was a Yogi Bear movie with Dan Aykroyd and Justin Timberlake not too long ago. Like,
I forgot about that one.
Mr. Magoo with Leslie Nielsen.
Well, the Yogi Bear you can't count because that was a 3D animated, like still animated. There was no people in it. So that doesn't work. It was crap. But it was, no, not live action. Oh, hell no, dude. What, like a guy in a bear costume? That'd be the worst thing.
No,
ever.
I thought there was like a Roger Rabbit thing in that movie.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Well, and I haven't seen it, so I shouldn't say. But
was Casper, did they have a, no, they had a, it was a 3D animated kid for that one, right?
For which one?
For Casper.
Oh, yeah. Casper had people and, it had dude, the president in ID4 was in it.
Right. How about Marmaduke from 2010?
Marmaduke.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I actually saw that. Didn't he had that in another one, like really close together. It was about another dog movie, wasn't it? It was something weird.
So when they take him and do like Chipmunks or Smurfs.
Right. And do a little 3D thing.
Yeah, but they mix it with live action. I don't like those either, but I feel like they can get away with those more because you're combining these two kind of universes together and they can kind of, I don't know.
Jump off the page.
Yeah, it's easier for them to just sort of make sense of it. But with Popeye, if I had never seen Popeye before today, I would probably really hate this.
The movie?
Yeah, I think I would hate it.
If you hadn't seen Popeye the cartoons before seeing this movie.
Oh, absolutely. And even then, I think I wouldn't like it very much if I hadn't seen the movie before. But when they walk into Sweet Haven, when he first shows up there and it's dead quiet, it's kind of dawn or whatever.
Right.
And it's been storming all night or whatever. And it's kind of mysterious and weird. He walks in there and the sun comes up and then that music, it's the only music I actually still like in the movie, but that whole sweet Haven and they're all coming awake.
Their national anthem.
Yeah.
Is what they said.
Yeah. Which just repeats their name
sweet
over
Haven
and over.
Bay. Right.
And the guy can't get his hat back because he keeps kicking it like a dumbass.
But he's
worked
so
hard
too.
To kick that hat.
But wait, hold on, Brian. I was going to ask about this. Was he ever in the comic strip? I don't think
hat kicking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, hat kicking guy was from the strip. I don't. That's not from Fleischer. That's from that was from, oh,
really?
From the strip.
Really, I don't remember that kicking guy at all.
And, was that just like a one panel thing? Like
no, yeah, it was just kind of like one of those recurring kind of background kind of things. And yeah, they've had that, and they had a whole bunch of stuff that was just little homages to the comic strip, but it was mostly like from the Fleischer area. But there were occasionally things from the comic strip.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. Also, I have a fondness for musicals. And
Well, you mentioned your fondness for Depression era musicals, and I was going to ask about that. Like, how many
Newsies, Annie? I mean, there's a whole slew of. I mean, Depression era musicals just go hand in hand.
Kids in rags dancing on
kids
stage.
Kids in rags.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Hard Knock Life. Mm-hmm. Was it Oliver?
Mm-hmm. No, that was.
Oh, no, that was Annie.
That was Annie. Yeah. Oliver was. Was Oliver a? It wasn't a musical, was it? Was it? Could have been. I don't know. I'm all out of pea soup.
May I have some moosh? No.
Anyway, well, I think it's well established that this is a very difficult thing to pull
it's
off.
It's a difficult thing.
I think it's a difficult thing. I think today, if they're doing Popeye today.
Well, they which go, they are.
About, they are.
Oh, they are. I didn't know that.
In about 2 years. Yeah. 2016 is slated.
Starring the Rock.
Right. Gindy Tartosky is bringing us from Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls. He's bringing us a new one here in the next couple of years. Probably going to be 3D animated.
He did that vampire Samurai, one.
Samurai Jack.
Right, and, right. But what was the vampire thing last year? It was like a big mainstream.
What am I drawing?
Transylvania something.
Transylvania.
Transylvania. Adam 6000.
Adam Sandler is the
Hotel Transylvania. That's
Hotel Transylvania. Sony Animation does a pretty good job of the studios they hire out for those.
Gandhi's lost like 200 pounds. By the way, he used to be a big fat guy. Now he's all thin. But anyway, the point is that's interesting to me because they're going to go full just straight on animated, and I can deal with that.
For sure. Yeah.
You know. Now here's how they win me over. This is what they do. They don't go like Smurfs or any of the more, or what's the Mr. Peabody one? Okay.
Oh yeah.
That was all smooth edged and looking like standard ass modern day 3D animated feature film. They would be way cool if they would do like they did with that game teaser they showed to the Xbox thing at E3, Cuphead, weird Fleischer era looking.
Gosh.
Strange, like jiggly arm looking weird animation, like the old Popeye commercials or cartoons. Right. I keep seeing commercials. And let that may have been Freudian slip by calling it a commercial because what are they really in the end of the day? But anyway, if they went that style in a big 3D thing and came up with some kind of weird hybrid thing, kind of like they're doing with the Peanuts movie. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for that or the teaser for that.
Right, yep.
I am in on that. That looks really cool to me. So if they can pull that off, great. Otherwise, do we need another Popeye movie? I feel like it's one of those things that doesn't translate as well to modern sensibilities in filmmaking.
Yeah, I don't think Popeye has had a recent a small resurgence probably back in 2013. That's probably when they got this kick started back off with the Popeye. But I don't think he's kind of stayed around. I don't think really people can relate to this big four-armed weirdo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Popeye.
Yep, forearm. Oh, the way you said forearm, I kept thinking, like in your intro today, I was a little confused.
Number.
Got it now.
Forearms. God,
it was kind of gross. Whenever you saw his arms.
Now, that was actually
close.
Robin Williams' real hair.
It's glandular. Like he has a glandular issue.
Yeah.
There's like, you kind of wanted to, pop it with a needle and see what happened.
His calves he had calves too, like that, right?
He does. Yeah, he does.
So I do like that they kept him as hairy as Robin Williams is normally. That was good.
Right. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I realized I'd actually gotten used to his gross forearms when they finally trot out Ray Walston and he's got the big forearms too, and I was grossed out again.
Once again, continually grossed out anew. So Robert Altman directed, writers, blah, blah, blah. Who cares about all that?
Here's some trivia for you.
Linda Hunt, who I love in everything, had her film debut here in Robert Altman's Popeye. Yeah, that was the first thing she ever did. And she didn't say much. She a few times said, go get him, Junior, or whatever the hell she said.
Right.
And because her son was the giant
kingpin
looking boxer.
She was kind of older than when she got into acting.
Either that or she just looks the same forever.
Right.
That's possible.
She was 25 in this movie.
Oh, what? Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy, dude.
So was Dune, how long after this was Dune? Because
Dune would have been a couple of years or a year or maybe right around the same time.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to find her right now. Linda Hunt. Here we go.
84.
I meant to say 35 just now. She was 35 for this movie and 39 for Dan.
Okay. Okay.
Why isn't she 35? Why isn't she not in more things? I know she's she plays some regular on NCIS now, but I don't watch that show. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's been like tiny bit part here and there in Nip Tuck or The Unit. She does some voice work for video games.
She was great in The Incredibles as Edna.
Right.
It was all based on her, right?
Yeah,
seems like we also made that joke when we watched The Relic.
I think so.
Because she was in The Relic also, yeah. In fact, I think her photo on IMDb is a photo from The Relic, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that.
Oh, that explains it, yeah.
Yeah, because she looks like the museum lady.
She looks like Edna Mode right there. Yeah,
she's great, though. I'm seriously enamored with her every time she does anything. If you guys want to see her in a great old movie, except Brian Ippick, he doesn't like Westerns. Go see Silverado again. She runs the bar for everybody, and she's great in that. Oh, my gosh.
Just in case you're confused out there, Linda Hunt is not related to Helen Hunt, and neither of them are related to Bonnie Hunt.
Okay. Keep your Hunts separately.
Lovely enough, she is the daughter of Robert Duvall.
Yeah. But not the real Robert Duvall, this fake one.
The fake Robert Duvall.
That's right. The Bluto guy, the guy that played Bluto, he died a couple years ago.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, he was only 60-something. So.
We lost Ray Walston a few years ago, too. And
mm-hmm. Yep. Who else from this movie probably died? The one guy, the guy that played Wimpy is in lots of things.
Yeah, yeah. The dad in Breaking Away is probably my favorite Paul Dooley role.
Oh, Breaking Away, yeah.
Bicycle movie, yeah.
Yeah, the old late 70s thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It had such a great movie.
It is a good... Does it hold... I mean, how is it now?
4 or 5 years ago I saw it and it was good.
And it was all right.
Yeah. Oh, he was the dad in 16 Candles.
Isn't
too.
Lando in it? Is Lando in Breaking
Williams?
Away? I think so. No? I had that
wrong. I don't remember. I don't remember him.
Oh, Brian Song.
Oh, yeah. Right. He was Gale Sayers, yeah.
That's all right, never mind. All right.
So I thought I recognized Bluto and I looked him up.
Yeah.
And his name is Paul Smith. Yeah. Not a very memorable name.
No, right.
We also saw
Will Smith, by the way.
Yes. But this is the fourth time I think we've seen him. He was in Maverick.
He was
the Beast in Dune.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in our fourth episode. He was in Red Sonja.
Oh wow.
Oh, the one that we all say Sonja and you say Sonja. That one. I remember that.
Sonja.
Sure. Remember Sonja. That at the time? All right. So here's my favorite bio on IMDb for one of the actors. Wesley Ivan Hurt, grandson of Robert Altman.
Right.
Play the baby.
Actor, one credit. Popeye, Sweet Pea, 1980. Nothing else.
Nice. Why not? Yeah.
He went on to be, he's actually
he
a,
no,
no, and he's a high school science teacher now. By the
nice.
Way. Yeah, that's cool.
All you kids can shut up. I was a Sweet Pea in the movie Popeye.
It's weird
shut
to think up. The guy who was Sweet Pea and Popeye is 30-something years old, and I wonder if his students ever like, hey, Mr. P.
Mr. P.P.
What's this year? And then, or bring a videotape and go, look at Mr. What's his name? It's pretty
funny. Well, my favorite
when
character
he's late
name.
For, had, go you go.
I'm gonna go first then. Yeah. My favorite character name had to be Ham Gravy.
Ham Gravy.
Ham Gravy.
Ham Gravy. The old boyfriend.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Yeah, look, the Bill Irwin, man. He's another one of these great character actors you see all the time. My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin and Rick Moranis, which I think is an awesome movie, has him in a very high supporting role.
Is it Moranis or Moranis?
It's a Monja.
Moranis.
It's Monja.
Monja.
It's Monja.
Wait, who's that guy's name again?
Rick. Hey,
Bill Irwin.
Bill Irwin, not Steve Irwin. Yeah.
He's not related to Steve Irwin. Wow, a lot of last names in this one.
Well, here he is. Yeah, that guy's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd forgotten about him.
He's really big slapstick stuff. Like
this thing was full of
Hot Shots. He was in.
Just died 3 years ago, man. 2010.
This was his first movie too.
96 years. Really?
Mm-hmm.
96 years old. Died in 2010.
Bill Irwin.
Bill Irwin. Yeah, this was his first movie.
He was
Linda Hunt, Robin Williams' first movie for them too.
Yeah.
But said he died.
No, he did. He's dead.
He's not dead.
He's not
he just
dead.
Made a movie.
Bill Irwin.
Yeah.
It says right here.
He's in Interstellar.
Says Bill Irwin, 1914 to 2010, died December 29th.
1950. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, we're talking about different people.
Well, who's this Bill Irwin? You guys all know this face, too. Here, hold on. This is ridiculous here. There, I just put it in there.
Could have possibly been two Bill Irwin's in the same
movie. You'll know him too. You'll see him and go, oh yeah, that guy's been in a million things.
Yeah, yeah.
You spelled it differently.
Oh. Yeah, Irwin with an I.
All right. Well.
All right. There you go. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's great. We both love both these guys.
I used to call him Buddy Ebsen.
Really?
No.
Is he still alive?
No. Looks like.
So there you go. There's some fun trivia there.
Yeah.
I always like the font they used. Look, I'm looking for things. Typographically speaking, there's a cool font.
Here are
font.
Things I like about this movie. Yeah. The font.
And when I was a kid, the guy kicking his shoe or kicking his hat, that made me laugh when I was young.
Man, it's still funny because they just showed it in the newest Pixar movie. I mean, it's the same gag with the Hero 6 or whatever it is.
Wait,
you know what I'm talking about?
Which movie?
Is it called Hero 6?
There is no movie called Hero 6.
Hold on a second. Yeah, it is. It's something like that.
From Pixar?
Big Hero 6. Don't tell me what I do and
that's
don't know.
That's not Pixar, though.
That's
Pixar?
Not right. Yeah, no, it's not. Hold on a second. I'm still trying to find it. There's a new movie out, and it's got something like a number 6 or something like that.
And it's somebody who can't stop kicking his hat and can't pick it up?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I'm having a memory of this, too, like I saw a trailer.
Yeah, they just showed it like at the movies. But that's basically all he's doing. He's trying to get a ball, but he's too bulbous, and he's chasing after it, and he keeps kicking it. And
you're too bulbous for that ball, son.
Maybe it's Disney Pixar now, so it's hard to say. 2015, let's see.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'd like to know why all the rooms kept – so he's walking into town singing – they're doing the Sweet Haven, and he's going, Blow Me Down, or whatever that song was.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, right.
And every 2 feet, somebody was slamming a door shut and turning a sign over that said room for rent, putting to no vacancy, right?
Right, right,
and
right.
Turning off lights.
Who else do they have these for if it isn't for strangers coming to town? Like, they're all freaked out by a stranger coming to town. I didn't clue into this when I was 10, but I sure did this time.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, wait, you exist.
To the other residents?
Yeah. You exist, speaking of incestuous, you exist to rent a room to somebody who doesn't live there. Here's a guy who doesn't live there. He's not doing anything wrong. He doesn't like the tax guy any more than you do. And you're all shutting your doors to the poor forearm
freak.
It is
Big Hero 6.
Okay. You got me, dude. I don't know what that is. That ain't no Pixar. That's all I know.
It's Disney, which is Disney Pixar, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it's all, speaking of incestuous, jeez. Everything coming out of Disney these days. If it isn't an X-Man or a, I guess they aren't doing that. But yeah,
they don't. Well, they can't have that one.
All right. What else? Let's see. Oh, I'd make a rolling Popeye prop if I could make one. You know the scene I'm talking about where Bluto tosses him down the steps and he's like a rolling Popeye. Mm-hmm. I would make one, and I would keep it, and I would freak people out. I'd go downtown and send it down some like public stairway. And just, perfectly round Popeye circle. It's cool, man.
It is cool. Come on, man. I'm with you.
All right, Brian, stick with me here.
On the other hand.
The font, yeah, okay.
No, I'm down with lots of things. First of all, I mean, this is a sweet classic love story between a love triangle between Popeye, Bluto, and Brutus and Popeye. I mean, come on.
Keep going.
I really am
called it sweet and classic.
Yeah.
It is sweet and classic.
No, neither of those words.
Really? What words did you give it?
Contrived, dysfunctional. I'm going to use that word over and over. And it was so much dysfunction. They even have a set called A House of Ill Repute where Wimpy takes Sweepy and finds out it's a whorehouse, but they don't actually say it's a whorehouse.
No. It's not. It's a racetrack.
It's clearly also a whorehouse.
But you walk in and there are women.
Carnival / whorehouse.
Right. By the way, we haven't thanked Walter for sending us these DVDs. Thanks, Walter, for these.
Walter. I want to argue with Dunaway again.
Go.
There is literally a line where a woman says, "Is that a bed pole you got in your pocket?"
Oh, yeah. No, there's a bunch of weird subversive adult humor in it.
Absolutely, which I love, which I thought was perfect. It really made sense to combine that mumbling and to be able to throw that adult humor into a...
And Grandpa Popeye yelled shit once real loud.
Well, he yelled Popeye's dad, Pappy, he yelled haul ass like about 60 times.
Yeah, he was all haul ass at one point. Yeah, that stuff, not to us now, we're like, oh, whatever. But when I was 10, that seemed like taboo, man. Like, I felt like I was in this movie going, oh my gosh, I pulled one over on the old people. I am watching this dirty movie about Popeye. Yeah, I mean, it's that stuff tonally is a little bit weird. It was like the first time I saw Secret of Nim.
Oh yeah, and that's a great movie too.
One of the rats yelled "Damn it!" in that movie.
Right.
Now, up to that point, your Disney quality sort of full feature animation in the theater type stuff never had any kind of swearing in it.
This was Bluth, so he
that was Don Bluth. Well, that's true. He could do whatever he wanted, but my point is, it just threw you for a loop, and I felt like Popeye was that way too. It was like, oh, we're getting a little saucy, just a little bit, referring to some hookers, and
the whole movie's saucy.
Yeah,
the whole movie. I mean, it's about Popeye coming into town and busting up an arranged marriage.
it's pretty saucy. It's pretty pulpy. We'll put it that way. It's pulpy.
Oh my gosh.
So Brian and Randy specifically would like to thank Walter for sending us these DVDs.
I was about to say I didn't get no Popeye.
I mean, it's streaming on Netflix, but you didn't. You never got your copy.
Yeah,
I didn't get a Popeye.
Oh, do I still have them all?
Yep. Yeah. Scott would like to thank you, Walter, for sending Scott four copies of.
For the record, my kids like this movie too. My kids like it.
Yeah, and you have three kids, so it's you and one copy for you and one each for your three kids.
Right. Just here you go, guys.
50 years from now, one of your children will be an adult. And we're like, why did Dad give me this? I don't even.
It's not that bad. All right. What else? Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's a philosophical question. People like it when we do this. So I'm going to do it. It's like the elevator. Remember the elevator conversations like that?
I love the elevator conversations.
Not quite like that, but it hit me this time. This time for the first time, it hit me that the phrase. The complete phrase, which is used often in the film, the comics, and the cartoons, and the animated everything. Everything Popeye's ever done, you hear this all the time. Popeye the Sailor Man.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That is a really weird thing to say.
It is a weird
to describe thing yourself. To say. That is like saying, Brian Ibbett, the
go.
Cover man.
Man.
And again,
was that on me? Did I disappear?
No. Are you? What?
No.
Are you here?
I did not hear anything for the last 2 minutes.
You, oh,
that's funny.
That must have been
you've been
you.
Listening to you. You've been talking, saying shit, damn.
No, no, it's funny because Scott says, all right, I have a good question. It's kind of like the elevator question. All right, ready?
Oh.
Oh.
And then disappear.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, it must have been.
So, I didn't hear your great philosophical question.
Scott is asking why they would call him Popeye the Sailor Man, specifically
Popeye
that whole
the Sailor
phrase.
Man. Yeah.
And there's because no doubt it was to something. Rhyme with the phrase spinach can. That's it. Seriously. No, I'm serious. That's exactly the only reason.
Randy, you just won the day because I think that's exactly it. I hadn't considered that because it's super dumb.
Spinach can in the song.
And Popeye the Sailor Man.
Yeah, he's strung to the finish because
he
eats
his
spinach.
His finish. He's Popeye the Sailor. But there's some Popeye the Sailor Man.
He rhymes it with Popeye the Sailor Man two other times.
He lives in a garbage can. Or I think we added that.
That's a different song.
All right. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the
Sailor
Man.
I'm strong to the finish because I used to be spinach.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. All right, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. They don't ever rhyme
it. Doot, doot.
All right, Randy, I'm revoking your day's win. So let's go back. Let's go back. So when you say Popeye the Sailor Man, I get it when you say Popeye the Sailor.
Popeye the Sailor, sure.
But Popeye the Sailor Man, Sailor Man.
Sailor Man.
Sailor Man.
Yeah, put a comma in there. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Man, hey, man. I just think it's really odd, and it never occurred to me how dumb that sounds. It just sounds dumb.
I was the same way. I felt the same thing when I was watching. I was like, why do they call him the Sailor Man? Because for some reason, I kept thinking that he was in the Navy, and that was kind of like in my head that he was like a military man.
Well, he was back in the day, right?
Yeah, they used him for war propaganda. I remember that, and I think that's where I got my wires crossed. But then when I started watching, I'm like, he's just a no good. He's just a drifter. He's just, he's a sailor man.
I don't see how you could associate the story with something good and uplifting because, like, for example, one of my favorite tropes in the whole movie.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't played the trope alert yet? All right.
Is the your dad is Homer Simpson trope, where basically, all of your memories of, in this case, Popeye's memories of his childhood are brutal.
Yeah.
There it's like my dad used to throw me up in the air and then he wasn't there when I came back down and like oh my god he's mumbling all these things like he's remembering them wistfully and right. it's just horrible.
Wow, if you went and put some dark music to this movie you might have a very different outcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be like sometimes he'd bounce me on his knee and most of the time he'd miss. Oh my gosh, what are you your dad was bad.
He's
like
a terrible
bad.
Man. He's a terrible
but
man.
That's what made it so fantastic. I mean
I'm just saying that
he still has this positive attitude, even though he's
I mean, you tell me, is this a more subversive Popeye than he was previously? Did Altman add this, like, dark dimension? My pappy gave me an electric eel as a toy to play with?
Yeah, because they didn't do any of that in the cartoons. The cartoons were all really innocent and stupid, and they were mostly just, oh, olive oil, I want to take you to the dance. No, I'll take her, Popeye, and then they fight.
Right. Well, this, you know, is kind of the whole thing of how cartoons were handled up until this point. You know, you couldn't discuss things of marriage or, you know, having a child or any of that kind of stuff. And so it was probably pretty easy for Altman to see kind of, you know, this world, this kind of, I don't know, idealized maybe, and how depressing it actually is. And I thought it was brilliant.
Maybe my tolerance for this movie is directly proportionate to my tolerance for sitting down and watching 55-minute cartoons back to back.
Right.
Because, and I mean, I'll explain. So Walmart will have that bin, and in there will be like all those dumb
that bin.
Like one of them's like 50 million animated films for $1.58 or whatever.
By the way, every Walmart has stuff. 3 dozen of those bins.
Of course. And I will buy those. I'll buy those. Like, I like that stuff. So I'll come home. I'm like, kids, come on, let's go. We're going to watch like Looney Tunes till we're blue in the face. Or look at this Droopy collection I found. And it's usually kind of bad. Like, it's the worst Droopy ones or the only ones they got rights to or whatever. But I don't care. Like, I have a big tolerance for that. And to me, that stuff's tied to my 10-year-old self. Like, I was way into like slapstick, dumb cartoon, you know, Droopy getting bonked on the head kind of crap. And I feel like this movie tried and failed in a lot of ways, but tried to be a live action version of that, twisting the arm before you punch a guy, hammer him into the ground, spin Popeye till he drills himself a hole through the dock and lands in the boat underneath. Like, for whatever reason, that was the voice that was speaking to me when I was that age. Right. And it's still little echoes of it, just a taste of it still in the air.
I was pretty amazed by Popeye being able to, that whole scene with him winding up underwater. I don't even know how they filmed that.
Yeah,
I don't even know how they filmed and how he punched that octopusy or whatever you call it. I don't know. God.
That was good.
That was amazing to me. I don't know how they did it.
Oh, great trope. A trope I really like.
Popeye. Oh, wait, that's not it.
There you go. The treasure turns out to be one man's treasure, and it's sentimental treasure. I thought that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was all right.
The last 2 minutes of this film was what this whole film needed, which was that happiness. I mean, because it was great happiness and jumping around and skipping and a lot of beauty right there at the very end.
Yeah, and you even had Dad out there helping, and it didn't seem to be demanding anyone giving him another apology. I kind of stopped with the apologies after a while. Like, you actually kind of, yes, there was some redemption for some of those characters. Maybe. For me.
Maybe.
For me. The mom, the lady that played the mom, Mrs. Oil.
Right.
We find her name.
Miss Oil.
Look at this lady. Look at what she's done. Hold on. Roberta Maxwell. Still looking good. She has been in everything. Like, she's in 3 post-production films. She was a regular in a few episodes anyway of Warehouse 13. A ton of stuff before that. Queer as Folk. Brokeback Mountain. Wow.
Why are you putting those gay movies together, Scott?
Well, they're literally back-to-back in here. Seriously, one went right to the other. That's why. Full Disclosure, Law and Order, a bunch of that. Like, she had stuff to do. She had things to say. Still does.
Busy. Been very busy.
Dead Man Walking, Philadelphia. Anyway, it's good. Good for her.
Can we talk about the last big trope in the movie?
Hold on, I'll give you a big trope.
This really fascinates me.
As fast as I can do is like playing track and field in the old arcade.
So it's the trope where the villain gives the good guy what he needs to succeed.
Oh, is that a thing? Explain.
You know that?
Explain.
You know, okay, so in this movie, if Bluto hadn't pushed it too far and basically made Popeye eat his spinach, he wouldn't have gotten the big, blow, right?
Right.
And this is really common trope, and it's a trope that almost makes whole movies, like all of Star Wars, for example. If the Emperor just keeps his mouth shut, Luke probably goes over to the dark side, right?
Right.
But the Emperor instead pushes him and pushes him and pushes him.
Shut up.
Monologues him straight to the brink. Yep.
Right. And that's probably where you see it the most, right? Is when the bad guy talks the the hero into such a lather that the hero ends up beating the crap out of him.
Right.
And remember, you'll remember in Superman 2, same thing. Superman tricked Lex Luthor into betraying him for his own demise, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really common. Like, I feel like I noticed this in so many movies where just to give you, the audience, one last surprise, the good guy doesn't just walk in and shoot the bad guy in the face.
Yeah.
But rather, the bad guy has to be partial instrument to his own demise.
Yeah.
Right.
And in interesting fashion, this movie only really tried. There are other attempts where you could say, yeah, like screwing him through the board and, you know, landing in the boat, or his fist being twisted up before he punched him, or his pipe spinning after he got punched real hard in the ring. Those are all right. Kind of nods to the cartoon. But the most nod to the cartoon by far was Bluto being so scared by an octopus that his clothes turned yellow and he swam away. Yeah. Like, that is such a cartoon thing. Like,
I pack my yellow swimsuit? Here it is.
It just, for me, it kind of is part of this illustration of the difference. And the reason why animation is such a special medium, because you can do things in, say, Futurama that are really smart, really clever, really funny, that would never, ever, ever work in a live-action television show, no matter how hard you tried to do it. It just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. It's acceptable to have these kind of visual things and cues and stuff in animated form that is just not acceptable in film, because there's only so much you can separate between reality and non-reality in a live-action film. So when they did that part, it's the one part where I, even as a kid, kind of went, oh, brother, he's all yellow. But in the cartoon, I'd go, hey, look at that. He's so scared he's yellow.
He's yellow.
Yeah. And if for whatever reason it makes more sense in that world than it does here.
Where does that term come from anyway? Turn yellow. What is that? Is that because you pee your pants?
Yellow bellied. No.
Yellow bellied.
I think it's probably some cowboy thing where you yellow bellied.
Turning yellow.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If it's something like, you know, crawling on your hands and knees makes your belly yellow, like you're.
Right. Or jaundice, the maybe. Maybe there's commenting on their jaundice. Maybe
oh, my gosh.
Maybe their liver damage or something.
It's all about liver damage. Yeah. It's probably some other.
You destroyed my liver.
Dust Bowl Depression era thing that you'll like. Okay, here we go. What is the origin of yellow bellied?
It comes from people who were sick and yellow and therefore lacked strength and stamina.
Oh, wow, dude. You're right. So it is like a jaundice thing. Yeah. I think so many of those things come from that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow. All right. That's a rat hole.
It's,
I could go
it's
down.
Hard to find an idiom synonymous with the word weak that doesn't put down somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
Like some classification of person.
Yeah, and they'll have some, and people will say it now, like no big deal. What's the one? Oh man, you totally gypped me on that car I bought. That means nothing to us, but is like a gypsy reference and is super offensive and like way puts him down or something. So if you've been gypped, it's like the worst thing you can say to a gypsy. But even
the Kardashians don't like that term.
No, I'll bet they don't. Ah, the fortune that a sex tape made. All right, moving on. So I got here Fletcher's thoughts. We don't usually get these, but Scott Fletcher wrote in some thoughts. It's not recorded. It's just something. Well,
it's
you know what?
Recorded?
He did record two. He recorded two things. He emailed this, but here's something he said here.
Pop mother effing I.
All right, that's one thing.
Interesting.
Then here's a peek behind the scenes of Scott Fletcher just trying to push through and do the good work he does. Here it is.
Don't forget, it's fun. Got to remember, it's fun. This is fun. Adjusting attitude. Just a minute. It'll take me a second. Nah.
All right, see? A little sign behind the scenes.
What was that Foley work he's doing?
he was clapping his own shoulders, right? He was like hugging himself.
I think it was his thighs, but yeah.
I think it was slapping his legs. That's what it sounded like.
Right.
It was like Foley work, though. Hurry up. The Indians are coming.
Well, there you sounded like you're in a helicopter. We're high over the city.
We got a lot of congestion. All right, so here's what he said. He says, two thoughts on Popeye that deserve day of light, or light of day.
Okay.
Number one, when Popeye walks into town carrying those bags, imagine that they contain the bodies of his victims. It becomes a very different movie, especially when he's slamming it into people's faces and stuff. Number two, Scott Fletcher says, Popeye was made during a very different time in America's health. The guy in the fat suit who's playing Wimpy it still looks healthier than the average fat guy today. Well said, Scott Fletcher.
Well, that's sad and very accurate.
Accurate and sad. The brother, though. The brother?
Castor Oil.
Castor Oil, great name. he's in a million things. Like, you know that face immediately. Like, wasn't he in...
Did he ever get old,
Animal
though?
House, I mean,
he
still looks
so Animal young. House, that's it.
Yeah, he was... not Flounder.
Hold on. Castor Oil, where are you, buddy?
Yeah.
Here he is. Donovan Scott is his name.
He's rocking still... a wicked polyester suit with a mustache on the IMDb.
Police Academy. Back to the Future 3.
That's what it was. Yeah. He looks like the guy from Animal House. I guess he wasn't in Animal House. Wow.
I thought he was that guy, no?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've never watched Sheena. My goodness, we need to go back and watch that.
My Name is Earl. Yeah. Everyone's been on Earl once, I've noticed. Every actor living today has been on My Name is Earl at least once. He was on Babylon 5. This guy's great. I like Castor Oil. Nothing wrong with that guy. When he made his mother think that he was behind her the whole time at the House of Ill Repute.
Right, right.
Great piece of acting right there. That was awesome. Come on, I'm picking it where I can pick it. I'm trying to get the best grapes off the vine, man.
And those grapes, the obviousness of how hard you're having to pick those grapes, I think underlines Randy's and my point about the quality of this film.
It's fair enough.
The watchability of this film.
We didn't even ask. Did you guys see this then or just now?
I saw this in the theaters.
Okay. Brian or Randy?
I've never seen the movie. I don't think I've ever seen anything Popeye, but I know I played the Genesis video game like crazy.
That was
I remember playing
game.
The arcade game. Was the Genesis game based on the arcade game? Same thing?
Like sure, must have been. Yeah.
Single window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong kind of thing, wasn't
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. So, all right. I just had to pull something up here. I think we're ready for, let's do clips. Let's do some clips.
Yeah.
Let's get to those damn clips.
Yeah, let's see if we can understand these damn things.
Here you go. Something about dropping binoculars. Oh, I just like the guy's reaction when he dropped his binoculars.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Made me laugh. There's some moments. There's some moments. All right, here's olive oil and the dad.
I'm sorry, Mother, but it's ugly. I ask you, have you ever seen anything so ugly? I won't be engaged in this hat.
I heard that. Don't think I didn't hear that. He owes me an apology.
I love that guy, dude.
Now, I don't remember that at all from the cartoon or the comics. Was there really a guy who always said, you owe me an apology?
No.
I don't think so. I think that was a thing that just...
I demand satisfaction.
They expanded on what her family could possibly be. I mean, they are so... That's the other thing with these movies that just take completely two-dimensional stories and characters. I don't just mean the way they're drawn, but I mean, like, there's nothing to them.
Right, and except they have to slapstick. Add a whole bunch of...
Yeah, they had to fill it in. Oh, he's got a brother named Castor. He's got a dad. Wants an apology from everybody.
Yeah,
I think he's the best thing about the movie.
I'm surprised they didn't take it further and have the mother first name Motor and that kind of thing.
Motor Oil or that's a good lady.
Yeah, the mom was Nana Oil. The dad was Coal Oil. Which
it could have been a lot, but it could have been right. You know,
yeah,
is Nana Oil a thing? Maybe it's a thing we don't know.
No,
Nana Oil. Nana Oil.
Banana oil. I'm gonna say banana oil.
Oh, there's a company called Nana Oil and Gas. That's funny. Her name should have been Gas. All right.
Well. Maiden name, maybe.
Yeah, maiden name.
Maybe she was Nana Gas.
Here's something about a name.
What kind of name is olive oil? Sounds like some kind of lubricants.
Lubricants.
Sounds like some kind of lubricants.
Lubricants.
Polarized it.
He's like 30 in this, you know.
Right. He was super young, yeah.
Yeah. Here he is again.
Eau de toilette.
I like it.
Fine.
I like it. Nothing wrong with it. All right.
You get a room for rink.
I'm going to have room for rink. A rink, a rink, a room for rink.
Rink, rink.
Here's this guy again.
You owe me an apology.
I'm going to play that all the time. We're going to use that on TMS whenever it comes up, when someone needs an apology. Here's this weird Popeye sound. I still don't know what happened
sounds like a board being like stretched about to bounce or something. Right?
Well, it was in the what's the name of the chef there at the burger place? Anyway, it was his place where this happened.
The only song I didn't understand where was Every Day About Food or something.
Everything's really food.
Weird.
Yeah, what
Everything's
the hell?
Food. That was a weird song.
Food. Every day is food. Come on. Sing it with me.
No, but did you listen? One of the guys that Popeye gets into a fight with at that place is Dennis France from NYPD Blue.
Shut up.
Oh, really?
Seriously.
Yeah. Shut up, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Dennis France.
The head guy, yeah.
Did he show his bum?
Yeah.
Because he did that in NYPD Blue, didn't he?
Yeah.
By the way, is this town just nothing but a bunch of fighting all the time, or is it just right. when Popeye comes
well,
along?
Well, no, every day is fighting and every day is food. Come on.
Every day is fighting.
Every day is
every
food.
Every day is food.
All right. Well, whatever this is, it will live on in infamy.
It's like a dying frog.
It's real bad. Mm-hmm. Here is something with flowers. I don't know what I wrote here.
I forgot the flowers.
Oh, Bruto. Bluto.
Wow.
I forgot the flowers.
There you go.
Jeez.
Sound like two guys.
I wonder if that's his real voice. Like,
probably not.
Paul Smith's real voice.
They overdubbed everything. I doubt it.
Here's, well, I mean, that has to be somebody's real voice, or if they did something digital to it, is what I guess I'm getting at.
Here is the subversive nature of this movie. I think Randy hit it on the head. There's a lot of sort of adult theme going on that they're trying to hide very vaguely for children, and this was one of them in this song right here.
He may not be the best, but he's large.
But he's large.
Oh, and she says it like a dozen times.
Yeah, and they all giggle mm-hmm. after. I think they're talking about mm-hmm. his penis is what I'm thinking. It's about sure, his penis.
Olive oil's a size queen.
That's
great.
Right. That's right. It's not how big it is. It's a matter of whatever. How annoying is this sound? I hate the sound of a fly, dude. Bees, millions of bees. Here's Linda Hunt and her only lines, I think, in the whole movie. This is all she ever said. Here you go.
Back I know you're real sunny.
Something about Sunny?
Back I know you're real sunny.
So something with Sunny. That was it.
Mm. Yeah, because her son was the boxer. The perfect guy to ever play Kingpin if there ever was one.
Right.
Can you play it one more time?
Okay, yeah. There's other stuff over her. That's hard. It's hard to hear. Here you go.
Back I know you're real sunny.
Sonny.
All I can hear is the back off, and
it says if you play it backwards, Paul is dead. Paul is dead. Okay, I got something to admit here. When I was 10 years old and I saw this movie, I went home and made something after I saw the movie, and my mom was pissed at me.
A Shelley Duvall shrine.
No. I'll say it was something to eat, and this line right here is responsible for it, and I literally did it, and I'll tell you more about it on the other side. Here it is.
What is that glop you're eating?
It's a soup burger. These are difficult times. Burgers can't be choosers.
Fooey. I made a soup burger at home.
Nice.
Hmm. Yep. Went home, cracked open a can of cream of mushroom soup, got out a couple of buns, warmed up the soup, put mustard and mayo and ketchup on it, poured soup all over it.
The thing is, if you just toasted the buns and just eaten the soup by dipping them in it.
Oh, I know. You're not wrong. But that wasn't a soup burger, dude. That's an old man ways out. I was like, this is it. This is going to be it. And I thought it was amazing. And my mom was like, I cannot believe the mess you're making with this stupid idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. You see, I kind of had a problem with this movie. I mean,
did you actually finish? I'm visualizing. Oh, two bites. All right, I'm done with this. Let's throw out the entire.
No, I ate it. I ate the whole damn thing.
Oh.
My Korean brother can confirm. Here's Holy Moly. I don't know what this is.
Holy Moly. You like Holy Moly? Holy Moly? Holy Moly. That's it. Holy Moly. We can't lose.
Okay. Say Holy Moly just a couple more times.
Yeah.
Right.
A kid who can predict.
Poor Sleepy ate a slide whistle.
That was weird.
That was weird. Cute kid, though.
Yeah.
What do you think? Just, like, he really was, like, a good baby actor. They don't have to do much.
I think it was Sweet Pea. I mean, I know the comic strip was Sweet Pea, but perfect opportunity to have baby oil.
I know, right?
As a kid, Scott, were you not freaked out by the fact that Sweet Pea just appears out of nowhere and is taken up by the first person that finds him?
A little bit.
Like, because that freaks me out that I could, like, on vacation with my parents, I could have gotten lost and ended up just living with some crazy guy with huge forearms.
Well, again, see, you're seeing this because you're seeing it in live action form. Those things take on a whole new meaning because then you start asking these questions and who's the hooded figure that leaves the baby there while they're out having that bad conversation on the dock?
Why does Popeye like the baby?
Right. But in the cartoon, we never asked.
He's freakishly in love with this baby. So instantly it's bizarre.
Yeah. It's all weird.
It's just change of life.
You need, if it's in a cartoon, you wouldn't even think about it. Like, none of us ever did. But you put it in live action form, and you're like, whoa, this is flesh and blood, man. What are you doing with that kid? Altman with your grandson, putting him in harm's way. What's going on?
I'm telling you, it's Father's Day, and I'm just like, this is such a horrible portrayal of fathers all around. There isn't one father in this movie who's even remotely good.
Yeah, especially not this one.
Eat your spinach,
you no good infant.
Let me ask you this, how many times does Popeye lose the baby?
But it's not his baby, so that's
at
not
least
really...
four. Yeah, at least yeah. four times Popeye loses the baby.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. And Wimpy all kind of creepy, kidnapping a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like any of
that. I think Wimpy wanted to make the kid into burgers.
Well, if he's willing to do a soup burger, right? Burgers can't be choosers, as he would be off to say.
Baby burgers.
I'll gladly sell a baby for a hamburger today.
Here's the most embarrassing moment in the movie for me for Robin Williams. A lot of it's embarrassing, but this part where he has to pretend like he's kind of a ungrateful little turd, this is embarrassing.
Eat that spinach.
I don't want to eat
that. Eat that spinach, your breath.
I don't want to eat that.
You disobedient brat.
I hate that so much.
that was really typical Robin Williams, though.
It was.
Yeah.
Like, I was way more
working Mindy.
Yeah, way more Robin Williams than the character Popeye to me.
Yeah. I still hate it. He's just too
over the top.
Oopla Popeye. What?
Oopla! Oopla!
Oh, the Oopla guy. who was vaguely Jewish, I guess, right?
Right, right.
That dude that hung around with the family a lot. They never really quite said anything. Like a Hasidic Jew, that guy.
Everyone in this film was this mishmash of all these different cultural things that you make fun of.
Yep. They had Eastern European old women looking ladies. And then you had, I guess Russian boxer man. And yeah, like it was a mishmash. Thing. This island that exists nowhere. All right. This is fun.
Don't forget it's fun.
Oh,
okay.
Scott, you gotta keep that. Scott,
indeed. Sure. Let's jump straight to the checklist. The worst tax system of all civilization, check. The fake gambling on fake horses for real money, check. Vagina cave, check.
With octopussy in it.
Yeah, right. We got some Star Trek connections. Daryl gave us these. He'll be doing a similar job at this for our coverage at Nerdtacular 2014. Excited to have him there. Mm-hmm. Film Sack Trek connections for Popeye include Robin Williams, who played Popeye. He was the character of Berlinghoff Rasmussen in the TNG episode A Matter of Time. What? Was originally written for Robin Williams, a huge Star Trek fan. He declined the role to be in Hook. He was on Good Hook. Choice.
Wow.
Robert Fortier, he was Bill Barnacle, the town drunk. He played Tomar in the episode By Any Other Name. Scotty got him drunk in the TOS episode that we're referring to. Richard Liberniti played Giesel in this, whoever that was. In DS9, he played Akoram Lan in the episode Ascension. And then Poop Deck Pappy, played by Ray Walston, was on TNG and Voyager, played Boothby, the Academy groundskeeper. Remember all that? He was the Boothby guy. Yeah. And then Paul Dooley, who played Wimpy, was on DS9 as a Nabrian Tran in four episodes. There you go. That's a good. Popeye's got some good connections.
Mm-hmm. He has.
That spans the. I mean, look at that. This spans all the way to Voyager and TOS from the beginning to the end, nearly. If you don't count Enterprise, which sometimes I don't.
It's best not to count.
No.
Three seasons, not seven.
Soundtrack grade, I'd give it, I don't know, I'd give it an SIB for Scott is biased. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not that bad. There's moments.
It's so, even that Shelley Duvall thing that you were playing, I mean, the lyrics are just so generic and dull and not creative at all.
But he's for large. Something,
right. I mean, yeah, he's so, that song. There could have been so many great little puns and you know, things wedged in there that just would have given the song so much more depth, and he didn't take advantage of that.
He's got a huge penis. All right, we're going to do the Twitter post now. This is 140 characters or less, and I lay it at the feet to begin with at Randy's.
Popeye, a Father's Day movie, exactly the same way The Passion of the Christ was a feel-good rom-com. It was wrong to the finish.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Finish. I mean, you finish.
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 Brian Dunaway.
Popeye, all the charm of a Fleischer cartoon combined with the zaniness of an episode of Mork and Mindy. Ibbit and Randy, you owe me an apology.
You owe me $1.34. Yeah.
He'll pay you on Tuesday, gladly. All right. And then finally, Ibbit.
Popeye, I couldn't understand a damn thing in this movie because of all the grumbling, and for once, it wasn't mine.
Oh, zing. Get that in the shorts. Just handed to me. Oh gosh, look at this. Hold on. There it is. Oh, just I don't have any Foley work here today with me.
Slap your legs.
The alternate here we go. The alternate title for this film, quote, "Why is this a musical again?" unquote, or quote, "The economics of paying for burgers on Tuesday," unquote. That should have been the name of this film. Hey, we got an email from John in New Jersey who says, "Greetings and salutations, Film Sack crew. I love you guys. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I've been listening since episode one." That was Kroll, you know.
Right.
"I think that every movie you guys have done has its ups and downs, but I have to say that watching Popeye has to be the most horrible viewing experience I've ever encountered. I have already checked three times how much time is left in the movie. And with my third check, I am now at the hour and 48 minute mark. I am taking this break to ask you one simple question. Who is responsible for picking this film? But whomever it is, if the four of you are ever trapped in an elevator, that is the person that needs to be eaten first.
Right.
Love the show. Not Popeye. John from New Jersey." So. Oh,
so with you, John. Thank you.
It wasn't us technically. It was someone who said, "Hey, I'll send you this movie." Mm-hmm. And I already forgot his name. What's wrong with me?
But we accepted the challenge though. So that does make us partially responsible.
Walter White.
Koenig. Walter is correct. White, I think, is wrong. I will say this, though, that there were a number of emails. I'm not going to read them all, but a bunch of them in full support of this movie. Some long ones, too, who really like this film. So it's been a little split.
We have some really bad movie fans, and I don't mean fans who are bad, but fans of bad movies. Right. And just for them, boy, have we got some fun things coming up. Like, we're going to watch Day of the Dead next week.
Yeah.
And looking out past Nerdtacular, there's Return of the Killer Tomatoes and Night of the Living Dead and The Beast with a Million Eyes.
Yeah. I like all those. Hold on. How about somebody just emailed in. I just got this. This just in. Ishtar is streaming on Netflix. That is all, says Paul.
I don't believe that. I had a really hard time believing that movie exists, that it could be streamed.
I thought they got rid of it.
What do you mean that it exists?
Like copies of Ishtar are really hard to come by.
Oh, really?
Right.
Well, It's streaming on Netflix. So,
you know what's also hard to get? Joe versus the Volcano.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can get on DVD somewhat in a crappy versions, but Blu-ray.
That movie I would defend to the end.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
I like Joe versus the Volcano. I would like you guys to look at this IMDb listing for Ishtar. 1987's Ishtar, considered one of the worst films, if not the worst films ever made. On the front cover, we have a camel singing on a microphone. Mm-hmm. And then below that, what I can only describe as promo stills of the actors.
Right.
They're IMDb photos, basically.
That's terrible.
I don't think that was...
That was not the original.
No.
No, the original
that's something new.
Yeah, the original was like a desert scene. I think this is... playing on the fact that it was so horrible, they want to make it. They want to say, "Hey, look, this is a really horrible movie, and we're embracing that horribleness."
All right.
Well. Yeah. If you click on that photo and then go one picture behind, the photo of Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty pulling a camel was the original. Mm-hmm. I remember that being the poster. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Yep. Previous. That's the one. That's also bad.
We will talk about watching it for Film Sack.
I'm honestly kind of scared because it's so notorious, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's,
I would love to watch it. I've never seen it.
Its notoriety changed. It became notorious for being a mediocre film that was overly panned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like all sorts of movie reviewers said, "Well, it's actually not as bad as everybody thinks it is." Like that became its notoriety.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That kind of makes me wonder if we want to watch it.
Right. I would guarantee that watching Ishtar would not be the worst movie that we've ever watched.
I've heard that. I assumed that most of the panning was because it was so expensive to make and made so little money back.
Or wasn't good enough compared to the money spent, maybe?
Right. That's what I remember from it. It was like the biggest flop of the time or something, percentage-wise.
Yeah. Was somebody doing the Fletcher back there?
It sounded like it.
Right.
Well, next week I know we're in for some fun because Day of the Dead is our next film.
Yes.
And is that the last movie before Intertacular? It might be.
I think it is.
Hold on.
Got to be close.
That's next.
We got the 22nd, the 29th.
Oh, yeah. We got two more. We can fit.
Are we going to take a break before Nerdtacular?
I think we can fit one in. Well, I don't know. Let's see how it goes because that is a crazy week. But for sure, I can promise people this. Day of the Dead, next week, dude. Mm-hmm. Zombies, 1985, considered to be the goriest of the George Romero deals. And there's a scene in there that I will never forget. I'll just say that that dude was half off, limited time only. That's all I'll say about that. So anyway, Day of the Dead next week. Tune in for that, please, everybody. It's going to be fantastic. I can't freaking wait.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good mood about it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think that's going to
do it.
Palate
cleanser.
Yeah, palate cleanser, right? Anything to get that Popeye taste out of your mouth.
Right.
That green canned spinach. And by the way, you can buy actual green canned spinach in the world, and there is even a Popeye brand.
So yes, that's what I usually get.
In stores now.
He hates it, though.
Yeah, he hates it. The website is filmsack.com. On email, you can email us. It's an email. Send us an email, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes because we love those, or wherever podcasts are distributed. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I'm